In regular security committee meeting, September 3rd, 2020, 10 a.m. So we'll get this going. Do I have any comments from the public agenda item number two?
Yes, I raised my hand.
Thank you for raising your hand, Mr. Public.
Okay, I noticed there's only one board member on the security committee. Is that the way it's going to remain, or is that by design, or you just can't find somebody else to be on the board, on the committee?
Thank you for the question. It's not by design. If you remember, it took the board several months to get a replacement to the board, which would be the fifth member. The person that quit the board was on the security committee. So determination was made that Mr. Pohl's expertise would be better used over in improvements, just because of his work experience and prior work on the RMA board. So with that said, committee assignments come up in a couple of months. And so I asked the other board members if it was critical to have two, since everything that comes from this committee goes to the board anyways. And so probably for the rest of this calendar year, it'll sit with just myself with moving everything forward to the general board as we normally do.
Okay, thank you. I think these committee meetings are better with two board members, but you know, that's reasonable.
And I don't disagree with you. Just understand, we've already, you know, some board members are on two or three different committees. So again, when the committee assignments were all put out, it's just kind of how it shook down. But again, the way that process works on all special districts, not just Rancho Marietta Community Service District, but the committees are either given direction by the board or the only authority allotted to them is to make recommendations and bring it back to the entire governing body. Amelia, do you have anybody else?
I do not have anybody else with a hand raised.
Okay, moving on to item number three. Tom, do you want to talk about this in concept, or do you want me? Okay, not hearing from Tom, I will talk about.
Hold on, sorry. I forgot. No worries. I forgot to unmute, my apologies. Chief Werblum is on leave right now. And so we don't have his monthly update. We weren't able to put it together in just a couple days. So put out a piece of, publish something that's, you know, not current and not professionally put together. We decided to skip the monthly update for security.
I definitely concur with that, especially since we had some issues in the last board packet where there was probably less than candor on some of the documents that were provided to the board. Tom, I know number four is yours. Update on the surveillance camera, please.
There's another item on the surveillance camera later on, but I wanted to just identify that for the surveillance camera system, we've added cameras at Lake Chesbrough that keep an eye on the buoys around the water intake system for the district's water supply. And there's also a camera that allows us to monitor traffic. It's a tilt zoom camera, a pan tilt zoom camera that allows us to move around and see if there's traffic going on. If somebody calls in and says there's a bunch of people going this direction or up here, we can look at it immediately and verify it. The camera is also fixed on the road that accesses the water treatment plant. So we wanted to raise the security level given all the activity there at the lake in the past few months. In addition to that, we're adding a camera. We're just trying to work out the power issue for the entrance of the village, which will allow us to focus on what goes in and out of the village, as well as the traffic along the road there. I think it's a good extension of our surveillance system. And I just wanted to update you on that. We'll talk about the surveillance policy a little bit later in the meeting.
Okay, very good. Video release policy, item number 5.
Here we are again. So, Amelia, do we have that? Do we have that policy?
Excuse me. Before we move on to the next topic, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Sure. This is Crystal Matter. Hey, I joined about 3 minutes late, but just in time to hear that there won't be any sort of a security report. There were two comments that I had a question on. One was, there was a comment that there was a lack of transparency with the last report, and I'd like to ask what was intended by that comment and what lack of transparency there was. And number two, since you won't be providing a security report today, will there be a follow-up meeting at which time the security report that you couldn't provide today will be provided?
Okay, I'll answer.
Go ahead, Tom, if you want.
I'll answer both questions. The lack of transparency was that we've upgraded our system on our calls that we get in every day, and we are not really skilled at running the reports out of there. So calls for service was greatly understated in the report. And as we mentioned earlier, our chief is on a leave right now. And so we rely on him to produce those reports. So we have to get an alternative way to produce reports. So that's the transparency that's not out there, at least in part. And then your second question is, we will have the monthly update at the board meet on Wednesday, September 19th.
Understood. You said that the response regarding transparency was responded to in part. What's the other part of it? And since the chief is currently out, is there an interim chief that could provide such a report?
Okay. The second part about the first part, the transparency in part, is because I don't remember anything else about it, about the discussion off the top of my head. And we are actively trying to find an interim solution for the chief. We have a couple avenues we're looking at right now. And so we're working with CalPERS at what the rules we have to follow on bringing out a retired annuitant. And this all is just happening in the last 24 hours.
Oh, I appreciate that. So it sounds like there's an extended leave period for the chief, and it sounds like an issue with respect to the security report. You'll be able to provide that at the upcoming meeting. And if I just may clarify, it doesn't sound like really a transparency issue so much as it sounds like if there's new software or somebody who can't interpret it, you just don't want to provide bad information. You want to provide the most updated information. So you just need somebody to be able to translate or analyze the data that you guys have, if I'm saying that correctly.
I wish I would have said it that transparently. Yeah, you said it perfectly. Thank you.
Yes, Crystal, so you're the one that used the word transparency. If you're done, I was going to absolutely say that is not the case. So I would just caution the public on probably their definition of words, because transparency is not the issue. The general manager made it very clear that it's a staffing issue and some software issue. It has nothing to do with transparency of this organization whatsoever.
I appreciate the clarification. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay, let's go on to, can we get back to the video release policy then?
Please.
So, Amelia's brought it up. So we had recently taken a look at our body camera policy and realized that it doesn't address the basic issues related to overall security cameras or surveillance cameras. And so at the request of board members, we drafted a surveillance camera policy that makes it clear what the rules are related to our surveillance cameras. And so what we'd like to do, we reviewed this with our legal consultant, Richard Shanahan, and this is the policy. And it's basically sets the guidelines for how we store data, how long we keep it on hand, what we do with data for use it for training, for accountability. And it also sets the guidelines for if, for instance, the RMA would like to see what went on with a particular incident where somebody came to the gates or somebody was here or there or at the, for instance, at the Chesboro buoys. It sets the guidelines for how people can retrieve the data. And basically every time we get a public records request act for data, we will review it and we will make a determination on what we can release. We will follow the law. And if, for instance, somebody wants to see a particular event happen, say at the North Gate or the South Gate that we have on film, we'll analyze it. And if it makes sense to share it, we will have the person come into the office and we will review it with them. So it really clarifies what's been going on, type of questions we get related to our video. And so here's what we're putting forward. We would like to take this to the board for formal adoption. Any questions?
No, I'm fine with it, Tom. I'm the board member that asked for this a year and a half ago. So I say we move it forward. So it'll be in the board packet, asking the board to review it. And then if they have any comments, we can add it there and move it from that standpoint. But as of now, I would say, let's put it as an action item for the board to consider.
Okay. And if, you know, it's open, it's out there now. If somebody wants to make comments to it, we will be happy to entertain suggestions.
Correct.
I'll make sure to send it out. This is Amelia. I'll send it out to the board right away so that everybody has a good long chance to take a look at it and think about it. I do have one hand up.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mr. Public.
I looked at that. I didn't really look like a policy. It looks more like a procedure. And reading it from a policy perspective, what I interpret is the policy is Jeff and Tom can do what they want. And when they leave, whoever replaces them can do what they want. I mean, there's absolutely no mention or recognition of the issue of privacy. Every time I enter or leave a village or go up and down the street, I'm going to be on the video, whether I'm on foot, on my bike, or in my car, and you're going to keep it for a year. And privacy needs to be addressed front and center in that so-called policy, and it's not there. And the fact that the policy makes no mention of privacy says a lot. It tells me that you people have no concern whatsoever for my privacy. And that is exactly the reason why we need a strong policy that explicitly recognizes our right of privacy. I mean, and this is something I'm concerned about. I value my privacy. When I read here is that CSD can do what they want, and that is not a policy. You know, what is CSD's policy regarding resident privacy? From what I can tell, there is none. And you know, who has access to this? I guess people can make public record acts requests, but other than that, they can't see it. Or, you know, say for instance, if the sheriff or the FBI is investigating somebody, like me, for instance, and they want a year's worth of video to see what when I come and go, then Jeff can give it to them without a subpoena. Because I can guarantee you they wouldn't have a subpoena. From what I read in this policy, that Jeff can do that. On another subject, retention for a year, I mean, that's a change. I remember originally Mark Martin wanted to keep the tapes for a year, but then, which seemed unreasonable to me, but then it turned out to be an exorbitant cost, and even keeping it for, I don't know what it is now, 2 or 3 months, is pretty expensive. So I'm wondering, you know, this is a change that slid in there without any mention that's going to keep it for a year. How much is that going to cost? And does that apply to the videos at the gate? Are they being currently being kept for a year? And so is that a change? And in addition to that, I question, you know, it quotes some kind of law saying it requires these videos be retained for a year. I question whether that's actually what the law says. I took a look at it. And to me, I have some doubt whether it applies to these videos or not. On top of that, frankly, I find this policy to be kind of sloppy. I mean, one policy is okay applying to all of these different videos, the body camera, the stationary cameras on CSD property and stationary cameras on, you know, private property. But I think the policy needs to make distinctions, you know, what the purpose is of body cameras versus.
Thank you very much for your comments, sir.
That okay. I know you don't want to hear it.
A couple of things. One, it's not that I don't want to hear it. We're limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Richard, I don't disagree with you. The prior policy was separated out because, and using your words, was sloppy and those types of things. So the intent here is to truly tighten it up from that standpoint. I know that CSD has been working for several years, specifically with RMA, but going back numerous boards, CSD's been working to try and upgrade the camera system throughout the entire district. Fortunately or unfortunately, the Mobile Village is within the district, just like it is the airport, every place else. So I understand your concerns. From a professional level, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's really going to be one of those, how much do you trust the organization? And it shouldn't have to come down to those types of things. But what you're asking from a system-wide standpoint, I don't know if there's a policy that could ever answer it, or if somebody's worried about their comings and goings. I don't know system-wide how we'd even begin to address that.
Can I reply?
Sure, please.
You know, the policy could at least acknowledge the invasion of privacy. Maybe it's justified, but, you know, recognition that, you know, there's a potential invasion of privacy and acknowledge that and a respect for that. And, you know, and perhaps, you know, some guidelines on when this information is going to be released. Like, for instance, if it's going to be wholesale released, you need a subpoena. It's sloppy.
Well, I think, and I'll speak on behalf of the district because I just inherited this, but when the district numerous years ago decided cameras are going to be a more efficient way, I have no idea if they determined at that point, and again, it's your words, invasion of privacy. I don't see it that way as a board member. I get that's how you see it. So I understand that. But from what you're talking about, it's one of those, I don't know if we can ever get there from here. And again, this has been a process for the district for several years. To upgrade the cameras, et cetera, et cetera. So we're just now getting to that point. I think that this policy goes pretty good in depth on what we're doing, how we're doing it, more importantly, why we're doing it. I get your concerns. I just don't know how we can address every single individual concern without not having a policy. Excuse me. So with that said, this is probably as tight as we can get it, unless there's something that we're completely missing that needs to be captured in here.
Excuse me, this is Tom Hennig. Can I say something, please?
Oh, yeah, please.
We do not have a camera that is invading anybody's privacy. All the cameras are pointed at public roads and public thoroughfares. And if by chance there is the camera does have a range that would invade anybody's privacy, we use the computers to block that access. So for instance, you know, the camera we have at our front counter, it blocks off what the receptionist has on her computer or their computer. The cameras that are in the gatehouse do have access to look at what's coming and going in the bathroom. It's blacked out. The camera we have at Lake Kesboro, you cannot see into the backyards because that is blacked out via computer programming. So when we're pointing a camera anywhere, it's at a public access location. And you don't have a right to privacy when you're on a public road. That's the law, and that's what we're following. There's cameras at grocery stores. There's cameras at intersections. Everywhere. So this is not in any way, shape, or form an invasion of anybody's privacy. If it's important to put something about that in this policy, we can try to locate something that you go look at other policies that maybe address. We don't point cameras at any place that other than public access.
You know, Tom, I'm fully aware of that. I'm not thinking somebody's pointing a camera in my bathroom window or my living room window or anything. But there's an issue of privacy when you're recording every single time I enter or leave the village. There's an issue of privacy there. And when you have that on a tape for a year, every single time I enter or leave the village, whether it's in my car or on my bicycle or on foot or whenever I go up and down the street there, this is an issue of privacy there. And I can understand from your point of view where you don't consider that privacy, but every single day, 24 hours a day, me coming and going, that's an issue of privacy.
There you go.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. If we in fact several years ago would have been able or had a policy in place where we did tape the bathrooms, we probably would have been able to address an issue of a very immediate issue of somebody spreading feces around the bathrooms. But because we didn't have access to it, it took several months to address it and identify it and get help and all those things. So even with the sophistication we have, it's going to have limitations. So with that said, I understand your comments. Richard, I guess I would ask that you draft us something, please send it to Tom on what you think the verbiage would be that would need to address this. And I'd be more than happy to look at it before the board meeting. And if we can incorporate it, great. If we need to postpone this a month because of this issue, and if the other board members feel this way, then we can work on it. Otherwise, as it is in concept, I would recommend that it goes to the board. But again, if you've got some verbiage that can better define out, then I'd be more than happy to consider it.
And let me just say, this is a high priority for the administrators of the village. This is something they've wanted for a long time. And most recently, there's been some theft in the village. And we have that on video. We couldn't figure out who it was, but with these cameras, we'll certainly catch people going in and out who are up to no good. And we just, you know, this is an extension of our ability to the district safe. And that's what it's all about.
Well, in the village, it turned out to be somebody living there, apparently. But I will try to come up with something and send it to you.
Okay,
but that works. One last question. I mentioned the cost. Does anybody have any idea what the cost of this for retaining the video for a year? Because I'm sure Mark Martin was saying that it was prohibitive to keep it for a year.
Richard, we did an upgrade of the system recently. And I wrote down your question. So by the time we hit the board meeting, I will have something to say about that. All right?
Okay.
Richard, to give clarification, what the former general manager was trying to articulate, and I don't think he did it very well, was a specific incident where RMA at the North Gate requested a film, a copy of the tape, or at least to view it, and CSD stalled RMA to the point where once they went back to review it, it was no longer there because it just edited out, it timed out. So that's the specific issue that Mr. Martin was talking about, and his comment at the time was, well, if we were going to try and store film tape at the guardhouse, you know, we'd have to upgrade the system and that would be an expense, et cetera, in the budgetary process, we've looked at the entire camera system. It's still a priority and it's just that evolution. So it's not that it was cost prohibitive. It was a multifold issue where CSD just didn't provide good customer service. And the excuse was when they tried to provide the customer service, the tape just wasn't stored there because the 90 days had run out. So that was the specific incident that the former GM was talking about.
Well, I remember the specific incident, but at some point they were talking about how long the videos were going to be retained.
Right. And that's part of that upgrade system that Tom was just talking about.
Yes, and Mark Martin wanted to retain it for a year, and it turned out it was prohibitively expensive.
Now
apparently you're going to keep it for a year. And I'd like to know how much it's going to cost, because we're talking about, you know, all these costs and security, how much the costs are going up. And I think this may be an issue, and I think it needs to be addressed, and you should address it. You know, what is the cost of this one-year retention?
As I said earlier, Richard, I will provide that.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amelia. I have had Sergeant Rick Tompkins join me in the conference room, and he has a comment. If you're still entertaining comments.
Yes, please.
Well, in regards to the video, I know he's concerned about the year storage. The only videos that we store for a year are those that we deem have evidentiary value. Otherwise, the videos are on a 90-day loop at the gates and they just fall off and disappear. And videos are only reviewed when we have to research something in particular value. So the average day-to-day coming and going is not even viewed or looked at. And there again, the storage is insignificant cost because we store very little. We don't store everything, only that which has some redeeming value for down the road. Otherwise, we're not storing everything because that would be too massive and too expensive.
Well, according to this policy, everything needs to be retained for a year according to state law.
As I said, Richard, we'll address that at the board meeting.
Okay.
And Tom, I don't read that in the policy as it stands, but we can move it forward, and then if we can get from Richard some of the verbiage, and we can get that in. That would be fine as well. Amelia, do you have any other hands raised?
I do not have any other hands raised.
Okay, moving on to item number 6.
Ms. Officer Tompkins, I believe, is prepared to speak to this item.
Okay.
This is in regards to the review process of the body cams. This is my first time here, so I'm not sure exactly how the procedure works. You work with me here on it.
No, that's fine. I've read the document. My specific question was and is total number of body cameras reviewed.
So, Rick, if you could talk about the work you do when reviewing the body camera videos for your staff and yourself, and what you look for and what you do with that information as far as training or any kind of actions you would take.
Sure. I pick one day a week, and I randomly pick several cameras. At the moment, we only have 4 cameras that are out on the road, so it makes it a little bit easier. What I do is I plug them into the computer, and I will do a quick scan of everything saved on the body cams. A lot of things are accidental activations or accidental photographs where they were playing with their camera. I will eliminate those right off the bat. Then I take each video and I do a quick review to see if there was contact made with the public, how the officer interacted, how the public interacted, and what the outcome of the video was. And if there is nothing to it, no issues or no training concerns or no concerns with the way the public acted, I will delete the video to save space on the camera. And any video that I find that should be saved for evidentiary value or maybe a training issue with the officer, I will save that into a folder on my computer. And then I get with the officer and I discuss what happened, get his point of view, and then I move forward on the best way to start handling situations after that.
Okay, and then through this process, we realized that we're not doing a really good job about documenting the events that are being reviewed and the actions that's being taken. So I've instructed Sergeant Tompkins to begin monitoring the activities in writing in a spreadsheet or a Word document. So if and when we want to go back and deal with the pattern of behavior or a rewarding good behavior or good activity, we have a record that those videos have been reviewed with each employee. And that's going to be something we do going forward. We're also looking, we're getting ready to do negotiations for the union contract. We're also looking to add that into the evaluation process of the officers. And by the way, the gate officers also get reviewed periodically. And so we're just going to do a better job of keeping track of that this point forward.
Thank you, Tom. And again, that's truly what I'm looking for is what is the total number that we reviewed? And then out of that, is it isolated issues or is it system trends? Because at the end of the day, our interaction with the customer is so critical on just how we're either perceived or how we have to improve our standing within the district. And so it was my poor assumption that all of this, because when you look at the policy, it makes it very clear what's to be done for training purposes, all these other things, even evaluations. So that would have told me that that's a formalized process that would have been being continued from when this policy was put in a year ago. So if I'm hearing it correctly now, moving forward is when we're actually going to do the appropriate documentation from that standpoint. Okay. I don't have any further questions on it. Amelia, do you have any hands?
I do, as a matter of fact, have a hand raised. Mr. Public?
Hi, it's me again. I hate to keep harping on retention, but I was kind of shocked by what I just heard. I mean, this new policy you're talking about, it unequivocally says that this videos will be retained for a year. And if you actually go to the law, it says it will be retained for a year. And then I hear you're going through and deleting parts of it. I mean, sounds like you violated the law to me.
Is that the end of your comment?
That's the end.
Okay, thank you. Yulia, do you have anybody else?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay.
This is Chris. I have a quick question.
Sure.
And this is Ms. Matters again?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
With respect to the body cams, I don't have familiarity with them more than in just a general sense. But what I'm hoping to do is kind of parse out what has been done and what the intention is going forward. So as far as the current policy or the current practice, I should say, the current practice is to review body cam videos. Are those on all the time, or are they only on during certain events? And it sounded like, if I'm understanding correctly, that there was a policy in place, and then there was a question as to whether the current policy is being followed. And then the third part of that is that you guys want some sort of a tracking document to identify review of those cameras. So the first part is, what is the practice and how does it deviate from the policy? The second one is what would you like the policy to be going forward? And the third part is, if with respect to this tracking document, is that a public document? Is that internal? And who's going to come up with that document, with what it looks like? Because it sounds like there's and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but there's almost an insinuation or an implication that whatever the policy was isn't currently being met.
I'll take the first at this. The current policy is the current policy. That got updated last year. So there is no new policy. It's the current policy going forward. As I stated, or as the general manager stated, what he's instructed now is that the intended use of the policy is going to be continued to be followed. The difference is it's going to be a more formalized process in a tracking manner. So an example would be, if we have an individual and we identified some individual trends that needed for behavioral performance or training, then that would obviously be into that individual's personnel file. That would not be something that would be open to the public. But if we identified a system issue and we did systematic training, or we identified that there are misconceptions with the public, example being non-licensed drivers could drive golf carts, if we noticed that trend in the review process, then that would be something that we could make public and identify those numbers moving forward from that standpoint. So I don't know if that addressed all three of your questions.
I have somebody joining now. It could be that she was cut off, because I don't know what number she's called in from. Ms. Crystal Matters, are you still on the line with us?
Somehow the line dropped me, but I'm back on. I just missed the whole explanation, whatever was provided. I'm very sorry.
No worries. So what I stated was, the current policy is the current policy. It was separated out last year. And what the general manager explained moving forward is that this process that is outlined in the current policy, and there's no reason to change it or need to change it, it's going to be more formalized. I was under the assumption And again, it's shame on me that this was, according to the policy, when you're dealing with working with employees and it's part of their evaluation process, it's all documented. That's just my professional background. So with that being said, what the general manager has stated, moving forward, all of it will be in a more formalized process. And specifically, the example I gave is if we identified an individual trend, an employee trend, then it would be potentially we work through the retraining, re-education, remediation. That's all a personnel issue. So obviously that does not go out to the public. But if we identified a system trend issue, an example I used was anybody could drive a golf cart. We know that you have to be a licensed driver to drive a golf cart. If we had X number of those, that would be a trend, and that would be something we'd want to share with the community that, hey, a number, and again, whatever those numbers are, that's the type of information I was looking for, because I started this with, I just want the total number of tapes reviewed. And then what category were they in? Was it used for individual training, system training? Did we notify or identify trends? So all of this would then, as the general manager said, also apply to the gate officers. So at the end of the day, we're reevaluating ourselves, identifying trends and trying to meet the customer's expectation. Is just going to be a more formalized process than what was currently being done by staff. So I don't know if that answers your questions.
Well, you had mentioned that the current policy is the current policy, but I guess I'm just, my question was, how is that currently not being followed and what are we going to do going forward?
I understand that. And I apologize if I wasn't clear. The current policy was adopted last year. What wasn't being done is what the general manager just told me, that it's going to be a more formalized process. Meaning we are going to track if it was an individual employee issue or if it was a system issue or the total number of those reviews that are being done throughout the system. That wasn't being tracked in a formalized process. So I don't know if we used any of them for system-wide training, if we identified any trends. So moving forward, from this point forward, the GM said that is now a formalized process. The difficulty I have is the current policy stated all that. I was under the assumption that it was being done formally. And it was an attract method of some sort, hence why I was looking for specific numbers in certain categories. That's the difference between yesterday and today with the same policy. I guess the expectation under the former GM was not made painfully clear a year ago to where it appears to be very clear coming from the GM today.
Understood. So that was part of the policy that they needed to track that, and that it will be done going forward. It sounds like it's going to be done for personnel purposes. And would that be done for all employees and non-employees that are part of security?
I don't know if I understand the term all. What the body cameras are, they're assigned to the officers. We have cameras at the gates, so we can review CSD security personnel. So I guess if that's what you mean by all, then yes, we try and look at gate operations and patrol operations. So if that's your term of all CSD employees, then that is correct.
No, and I apologize for my lack of clarity on that question. I understand that from time to time, there may be, I don't know if you call them, there's full-time people, there's part-time people, there may be, I don't know if you guys get substitutes from other CSDs, and I apologize for that term. I don't mean any disrespect there. And then from time to time, you use contract employees. If I understand correctly, these body cams are used at least in part to help train personnel. And so I just wondered if that was going to be reviewed and evaluated for everybody, whether they be working the gate or patrol, and whether full-time employee, part-time employee, contract worker, et cetera.
Yes, that would be the case because we're doing it currently today, and we've done it for numerous years. So your question, my answer would be yes to, unless Tom, you have a different answer to that.
Well, the only thing I would add, this is Tom, by the way, the only thing I would add is all the officers who wear body cameras, whether they be full-time, part-time, or contract employees, that video periodically gets reviewed. And as Rick said, he reviews video once a week. As far as the gate officer operations, anytime we get a comment, we can go back and review the video. And if there's an issue we need to, you know, help the employee along or identify whether something really happened, that allows us to do that. And sorry to put you on the spot, Rick, what is your practice for reviewing the video for the gate officers?
We will do a random check of videos, just periodic, nothing too steady. But if we do get a complaint or a concern, then we will go back and look at the video, see what's going on, and then we address it at that time. We'll take care of whatever needs to be done. If it's an issue with the public and we need to contact the public and let them know, hey, Mr. So-and-so, your claim was wrong, or if we have an officer that needs a training issue, we take care of that all at that time. And one other question, as far as the body cams go, I know she asked a question about if they're on all the time. That's what kind of makes the review a little bit lengthy and processes, because we only activate the cameras when we get out on a call. We don't run them all the time because of their privacy issues of our own, plus, you know, the general public walking up to us. So I just wanted to address that question real quick that, yeah, we activate the camera when we get out on a call, then we shut the camera off when the call is over with. That way we don't have to worry about any privacy invasion or First Amendment issues.
Very good. Thank you. Does that answer your questions, ma'am?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's item number six. Amelia, do you have any other hands raised?
I do not. Yes. As a matter of fact, I've had a late hand raised. Mr. Public.
Yes.
You again.
You just mentioned something about videos with the gate officers. I was wondering what you are referring to. I understand there's a video, a camera at the gate. I thought it was just recording the vehicles coming through. Is there something actually recording the gate officers themselves, or are they wearing body cameras? So,
no, we have about that. I couldn't tell you the number of years, but we've had cameras to where we have auditory as well as visual. So that we can hear the interaction of our customers with our staff folks. That's been in place, like I said, as long as I can remember. And then we have cameras that are able to track the license plates should we need to do follow-up of the license plates. So we have two separate camera systems at the gates.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't aware of that.
No worries. If we're done with number six, we'll move on to number seven. I believe, Tom, you were going to address this.
Yes. Golf cart enforcement activities is always a hot topic these days. And my interactions with the new GM at the RMA are that we're going to work together to develop some targeted enforcement of the golf cart rules. And based upon what I heard this morning, also maybe deal with some speeding on some of the paths. I don't know how we're gonna do that, but we're gonna talk about it. And just in general, we talked about it earlier, you know, we've increased our ability to enforce the rules here at the district, both inside and outside the gate, but we have the cameras going in at Chesbrough and the village. And then we also, if we get complaints that are very specific to a particular space on in the district, we are doing targeted enforcement on a regular basis. For instance, we're doing a lot of enforcement for speeding on a couple particular roads right now. And we're also doing a lot of enforcement around Riverview Park. And if something happens, you know, if something happens, we try to do what people want us to do, which is pay extra close attention to specific things that are going on. And the bottom line is we're going to be working together. I'm going to be working together with the GM at the RMA now that they have a new GM on board. And I think we're going to see positive results. And I just wanted to give a verbal on that.
Very good. Thank you. Amelia, any hands on 7?
Let me double check. I don't have any hands up on number 7.
All right, move on to number 8. I'm not aware of any update on this unless there's something you've got, Tom.
We're just working to schedule the meeting. I talked to Kevin, the RMA GM, and we haven't had joint security meetings in quite a while. And so I'm very interested to put that on a regular schedule again. So that's just FYI. That's why I wanted to put it on here to let the public know that we're going to be meeting again.
Very good. Shouldn't be any hands raised on that, but if there aren't, we'll move on to number 9. Tom, do you have any last minute items? I have a couple myself.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Tom, I don't really want to do this to the water department, but just because of what our staffing is and security, would it be appropriate, and maybe we can address it at our meeting next week, but for the locks on the gates, we've got the buy-in of the 3 organizations, so I don't know if there are resources on the water side that can effectively get this going, or how that works, or if we should wait and have more conversation with the GM at RMA. But I know 2 of the gates got locked by the country club, but again, I don't know if we have keys. I think we should. That was part of the buy-in for the locks on the gates. So I don't know. That's where I'm at. So it's kind of one of those, I don't know if we wait or if we can tell RMA that we've moved it over to somebody in the water department and we're going to start the procedure to formalize that system.
I am, this is Tom. I'm checking with Paul right now via instant messaging. I requested a couple weeks ago that we put locks, make sure we have locks on all the gates, that they be district property so we can do a little bit higher level of enforcement if they get destroyed and we know who destroyed them. And as soon as I said that, I heard that the country club was already in the process of putting locks on some of their gates. And I believe the RMA was also doing some things with locks on gates. And so I need to follow up on those instructions and get an update. So I will find out
from Paul. No worries. Again, the concept being, especially with RMA upgrading the vehicle limiting devices on the pathways, now that they have the standard type that tip down, you know, again, those locks we should have access to just purely from an emergency standpoint and a patrol standpoint. And like I said, I've got the conceptual buy-in. Now it's just a matter of moving forward. And to me, the logical place for the gatekeeper in this case would be CSD as opposed to either one of the other entities from that standpoint. But okay, you understand what I'm saying. So perfect from that standpoint.
If you'd like, I'll add that to the general manager's report, update on that as part of the next board meeting.
Perfect. Please. The other item I want to discuss is just to let whoever's on this Zoom committee meeting know that there's a parallel track with the Finance Committee looking at security operations and ultimately the cost and what does that cost look like and what does that level of service look like. So there's a dual track that's taking place within CSD. It directly affects the operations of CSD security, but it's looking at it from a finance standpoint as opposed to a procedural operational policy standpoint. So I just want folks to know that it's a dual track on how security is being looked at and what ultimately that is going to look like in the fiscal years coming ahead. So I just want people to understand that the Finance Committee is doing and has done, specifically John Merchant, a ton of great work on how we got to it costing so much and now what are going to be some of the options that the board's going to have to deal with. And then how is that going to implement throughout security? And then ultimately, what does that look like? So there are dual operational issues being looked at, not only from security committee, but as well as the finance committee. So I just want folks to know. That's all I have. If there are no other staff comments, then I think we can move on to item number 10.
I have no other comments.
All right. Item number 10 is adjournment. So I want to thank staff as always. Richard, if you can get something to us in writing so we can look at it, that would be greatly appreciated. We will move forward this policy as an action item and have, and Amelia, if you get that out to the board members, when it's appropriate to have them have a little bit of time to look at it so we can follow up with it. That will conclude this committee meeting and I move for adjournment.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you.